Okay, so next we are looking at moving towards a purely open AOSP. As you've probably all seen, there's always some components of AOSP that are not really quite open, and that is something we should really be trying to fix. So AOSP is a nice start, but it's not really complete, and unfortunately this even tends to get worse instead of getting better. Like in early versions of AOSP, it included an email client, which I'd consider base functionality for any mobile, but that got removed in favor of using non-free tools. And the launcher got pretty much stalled, getting pretty much no attention since the start of the Pixel launcher. The browser that is in the Android source code is not really usable. And at the same time, expectations of functionality that we just expect to be present in every device is growing. So instead of removing components, we need to be adding them. And often AOSP isn't getting it, and only Android phones get it through Google or other vendor apps. So the question is, can we still build an open source phone? And if yes, how can we do that? We'll start with some fairly simple things and then get to the interesting part. Obviously, the simplest thing is just adding a couple of apps from third-party sources replace all the stuff that you'd just get as binaries on your existing phone. And I'm going to mention the apps that I think are best to put in your fully open AOSP build. Obviously, they're not the only ones that exist. Maybe I missed a better option somewhere, so do your own research instead of blindly trusting me. First thing that you will probably need on a browser on a phone is a browser. And it is best to use some version of Chromium. There are a couple of alternatives to it, but they don't implement the APIs that you need to replace the system web view, which is essentially a stripped-down Chromium that is going to be embedded into apps, for example, when they want to display their HTML code. And you won't notice that this is missing in a fully open build because it's included in AOSP sources, but as a pre-built binary. So if you want to go fully open, you have to rebuild that, and only Chromium and closely derived browsers can do that. If you have concerns about privacy, if the reason why you want to build an open phone is that you don't trust Google, that they might be stealing your data, you can use the ungoogled patches. I've actually done that on one phone and it works nicely, so there's no trust issues even if you're using the Chromium code base. Next is you'll need a mail app. K9 Mail is probably the best way to go there. It's originally based on the email application that was part of the early AOSP builds when it still had one. And from then on, when it got removed, it now has 17 years worth of improvements. And these days, it is also known as Thunderbird for Android, but it doesn't actually share the code base of desktop Thunderbird. It just shares the name, so don't get scared that it will pull in 500 megabytes of dependencies or stuff like that. It doesn't. Next is Maps. Obviously, the challenge there is to have something that will still have accurate maps of all the roads and trails and everything you might find. I found two pretty interesting replacements for maps. One is Organic Maps. Uses OpenStreetMap data, and in many ways it's even better than Google Maps. It has more complete offline support, like you can just, if you have the storage, download maps of the entire planet to your phone. And, you get not just the roads, you also have hiking trails, contour lines. If you're enjoying outdoors activities, it's much better than Google Maps for that. And another option is Osmond, which also uses OpenStreetMap data. It's also a good choice. It is pretty good at navigation, but if you want a fully open build, you have to be a little bit careful because it includes some non-free artwork. So you may have to replace a couple of icons and a couple of markers that will be drawn on the map. But the code base itself is open, so this is certainly another good starting point. Next, we'll need a media player. There's at least two good options for that. MPV Android, which is based on MPV and FFmpeg, can deal with just about every format you might run across, but probably doesn't have the best support for hardware-based acceleration decoding. And then there's VLC Android, the Android port of the VLC player probably everyone has seen. That also works pretty well for this task. Next, most phones that you see in the shop have a weather widget. We have one in the open source world as well. This is Forecasty, this one I could find that works pretty reliably. And you can also put it on the desktop as a widget. So you get pretty much the functionality you'd also see in a Samsung phone or so. Next is the launcher. While AOSP still includes one, it hasn't been getting all the features lately. And it just can't compete with the ones that are in real Android phones. So fortunately, there's already a couple of forks of it that do a better job at keeping up to date with the features that work pretty much like the Pixel launcher. So there's Launcher, there's Bliss Launcher 3, about which there will be another presentation here a bit later. And there's one I won't even pronounce because I have no idea what language the word is from. But the code is open and it also seems to be a pretty good option. And then last thing, we need a way to get more apps on it. We need to replace the Play Store. F-Droid has become pretty much the agreed upon place to go for all the open source apps. So you certainly want to build that into an open phone. And if you also need non-free apps, if you just say the system itself should be open source, but it's not a problem if the apps on it aren't, there's some way to pull those in as well. For example, AppDroid and APK Mirror are pretty good places to just find the non-free APKs that you can install to get those apps. And the APK Mirror client app is currently unmaintained, so maybe there's a volunteer here to take it over, but it's still pretty useful. So now that we've covered the apps, we get to more interesting parts. Next step is a lot of the apps rely on cloud services and you want some connectivity to the rest of the world. And of course, in the fully open world, you don't have those pre-included with AOSP. Fortunately, you can replace Gmail with a standard IMAP and SMTP server, just use Postfix and Dovecot or similar things. For Google Meet, you can use Jitsi. For Google Drive and Calendar, you can use Nextcloud. And the Nextcloud app also automatically uploads photos to your own storage, so you can get rid of any dependency on not necessarily trusted services. And you don't need to modify the camera app to do this because Nextcloud monitors the directory in which the camera app puts its files. So you don't need to use the modified camera thing from Android. You can just use the AOSP camera or another camera app like Open Camera. Well, then there's of course there's the problem that you might not have servers running those things already, but fortunately many of the open source projects that we've seen in the previous slide already offer hosted services, so you can go there, or you can go to a provider like Federated that provides hosted versions of all those cloud services, and you get all the free versions of what you'd have in terms of Google integration in an Android phone. Okay, now we are getting to the very interesting parts if you start removing all non-free bits of the AOSP. So now you've removed all the non-free bits, you've added all the apps you need, you've replaced the cloud services, but then half the non-free apps you install through AppDroid or APK Mirror or some other source will fail. And the reason is because they use Google Mobile Services, which is a pseudo-standard library that integrates Google services like finding data from a map or getting your user data, stuff like this. But fortunately, we have a solution for that as well. There's an open re-implementation of pretty much all of GMS. It might still be missing a couple of things, which you can find at microg.org. And microg does a pretty clever thing, because those non-free apps keep checking for security reasons that they're talking to the real library. So microg needs to a way to trick them into thinking that they can talk to microg instead. It introduces a patch for signature spoofing, so apps would see the Google signature even when it's not there. Unfortunately, it has been done in a way that is secure. You don't open yourself up to getting your bank app signed by different sources and stealing your data, because with the signature spoofing patches that are part of microg, you can define in a read-only way what particular code is allowed to spoof a signature, so you don't open yourself to all sorts of backdoors by using this.